So we left off last week at number 12, what strong urging should a father encourage upon his son? What I kind of like to do, since we haven't done this in a few weeks, the remaining passages here, 4, 1 through 9, and 8, 1 through 36. I'm going to go ahead and read that, sort of get our minds in the feel of the whole thing. Beginning in chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. So Proverbs 4, 1 through 9. This is from the New American Standard, 1995. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you will embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. So that's that passage. The other one is chapter 8, 1 through 36. So let's go to Proverbs 8. That's the whole chapter. Proverbs 8 is the personification of wisdom. I mean, we just looked at wisdom in Proverbs 4, where it's personified as well, but it's second person that's talking about as if she were a lady. This is wisdom as if wisdom's talking directly to us in first person. Proverbs 8, does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out, to you, O men, I call. And my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence. And O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things, and my mouth will utter truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than the choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set for the sea its boundary, so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. So, powerful passage. A lot of wisdom can be gleaned from this passage, and the one that we just read in chapter 4 as well. So I believe these first questions are coming from 4. Question number 12 comes from Proverbs 4, 1 through 9. What strong urging should a father encourage upon his son? And there are 7 answers. Anyone?
First one is, let your heart retain my words.
4:1. Yours reads differently than mine. Say it again.
Verse 4, let thy heart retain my words.
Ah, yeah, there it is. 4:1-9.
What does your verse 4 say?
My verse 4 says, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. I just don't have that as my first one. Well, because I figure, you know, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9.
But the teaching of the Father starts at verse 4.
The teaching of the Father.
What strong urging should a father?
Chapter 4, verse 1 says, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. And give attention that you may gain understanding. So I put, gain understanding.
I think Richard's saying, what did the father, like what are the father's words? And that doesn't really start before.
What strong urging should a father?
Then he taught me and said to me.
So we're talking about the father's duty.
So did you come up with 9 of them from the very beginning, Randy, or from?
There's 7. I mean, there's A through G. And I don't know. Like I said, this there's no teacher's edition of this book. So I don't know what the answers are that the writer of the lesson came up with. But I just found 7 that, you know, were, that I found within 1 through 9. And I just figured it says, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father in verse 1. And the very first thing he says is, and give attention that you may gain understanding. So I just wrote that down as my first one, is to give attention to instruction. That's what we're supposed to do. But, were you able to get 7 of them after verse 4?
Actually, I think you came up with more.
You came up with more? Well, let's discuss those then.
There's a gazillion.
Okay. I put for 1 and 2, so A and B, I put a give attention to instruction and gain understanding. So those are the 2 things that I thought that he was saying in verse 1. Verse 2, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. Do not abandon my instruction. I think that's a directive. So we're told to give attention. Told to gain understanding, and we're told not to abandon the instruction. Did you have something else besides that?
I didn't have anything until verse 4.
Okay. So, let your heart hold fast my words is what I've got for my D. But that's what you had for A. So what did you have for B?
And I'm not sure because whether he's using the sort of style that the writers of the Hebrew scriptures use, but because it says retain my words and then it says keep my commandments, but I think those are the same thing. So then he says get wisdom, get understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like a verse at a time as opposed to picking everything out of the verse.
Mm-hmm.
So repetition is something that Hebrew writers are known for.
Well, and there's plenty of repetition just in the Proverbs alone. So we're reading what Solomon said. A lot of times, as we've found in this class already, he says the same thing in different words. He'll say exactly the same thing using different words. But
so that was keep my commandments is the first one, and then get wisdom or, and then forsake not or love her, one or the other. And then it says get wisdom. Also says to exalt her. No, I think that's about the end of it.
So I kind of grouped this with the next question. So the next question says what benefits will be reaped, and I figured that they were sort of a two-part question.
Yeah, because it's used in some of the same verses.
I went with everything that had a reward associated with it, which gave me five, and then there were two extra rewards, so I found two extra urgings. So because it's keep my commandments and live, do not forsake her and she will keep you, love her and she will guard you, prize her highly and she will exalt you, embrace her and she will honor you, and then there's also repeated twice, get wisdom and get insight. So those are my seven, and then there's a she will place on your head a graceful garland and she will bestow on you a beautiful crown for my other two rewards.
Yeah, what she said.
I probably should repeat everything she said for those on Zoom. but I can't. Jenny just said a mouthful. So basically, she just answered question 13 all the way through. But we're going to get to 13. We'll get to that next. We've already talked about that in this class because there is no teacher's edition. We just kind of have to go with what we get. We're going to come up with some different answers, but we're looking at the same text, and it does say the same thing. It just we're saying the same thing in different words sometimes. Giving attention to instruction, these are good things. Let me just go through what I've got, because I can't. I mean, if you want to add something to it, then that's fine too. But let me just tell you what I've got, because as I was going through, I had give attention to instruction as my first one, and a parallel passage in Psalm 34:16. You take a look at Psalm 34. No, it's not 16. It's 11. I'm trying to read my own writing. It looks like an 11 and a 16. No, it's got to be 11. Come, you children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Giving attention to instruction is listening. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. This is a psalm of David. Well, it's related, but I'm not really sure why I wrote that down. Giving attention to instruction.
It's talking about an instruction of a father.
Giving attention to instruction. That's where the instruction's coming from. The instruction is coming from the Father. In this case, this is David. So, I've got gain understanding for B, gain understanding, and Proverbs 2:2 pretty much says that too. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of repetition from Solomon alone, but Proverbs 2:2 says, talking about, well, starting in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. So, that was 1:1. 2:2. 2:1 and 2. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. So, gaining understanding is a theme of Proverbs. Gaining wisdom, gaining understanding is a theme all the way through Proverbs. So we're going to find that multiple times. Do not abandon instruction. I've got that for C on here. And I've got parallel passages would be... I really should work on my penmanship. Psalm 89:30. Psalm 89, verse 30 says, if his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. So there's a penalty for abandoning the instruction of God. And that's basically what that's saying. So back in Proverbs 4, verse 2, Proverbs 4, 2, I will give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. And it's important that we realize there's a penalty for abandoning the instruction of God. So, for 12D, I've got let your heart hold fast my words, which Richard has as number one, or as A. But if you take a look at Psalm 119, 168. So Psalm 119... everyone's favorite chapter, because it's so long, it's so good. Psalm 119, 168 says, I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Letting your heart hold fast my words is, in fact, if you read 167, my soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. What God wants us to do is love his word. I mean, yes, we're supposed to keep it, but the best way to keep it is to love it. If we love it, that means we can't get enough of it. Got our nose in the book whenever we can. And we want to know what God wants from us because we want to be pleasing to him. So letting our heart hold fast his words. I've also got Hebrews 3. Jump over to Hebrews 3 and look at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. That's a theme, really, of the book of Hebrews, is to hold fast. And to hang on to this faith that's been delivered. But as we relate it to our study of Psalms, let your heart hold fast my words. This is a warning in Hebrews. When he says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart, he's talking to Christians. This letter is written to Christians. And he's saying, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart. It's possible to stop believing. Just like it was, you know, just like the Israelites coming out of, they watched the plagues of Egypt. They watched God open up the Red Sea so they could cross it on dry land. And then they got to the other side and started worshiping idols. It's possible to believe and then stop believing. And that's what the book of Hebrews is all about. Is it is possible for us to stop believing. And this is a warning not to. So when we see the instruction of the wise man, in Proverbs, it says, let your heart hold fast my words. He's saying the same thing in the New Testament. It's the same Holy Spirit, same message. Old Testament, New Testament. We need to hold fast the words of God. And as he says in Hebrews 3:14, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. That giant word, if, it's only two letters, but means a great deal. It's a conditional word. After we've become partakers of Christ, or we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. We need to be faithful every day of our lives. We can't stop being faithful and expect God to save us. Salvation is for the obedient. Matthew 7:21. You knew I'd say it sometime. Yes, Latanya.
All you have to do is not come see them in the hospital or do something
and
they're done. They're going somewhere else.
Say that again. I'm not sure I followed you.
You have people that will lose their faith because of what someone else has done to them.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of going to them and letting them know how they feel and getting over it, they'll leave and then talk about it later to others. Instead of fixing the problem.
Right.
You can't lose your faith. It's real easy to just get mad and leave.
Oh, yeah. I've known people that got mad at God. They blame God for stuff. They walk away from God because they want to put the blame on Him for their life. But
that. I think that other Christians should have done this or that, and if they didn't do it, then they're not going to have any part of it, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. That's why my sister left the faith, because she was offended by some things that had been said to her at services. It's like, you know, that was just one guy or two guys talking to you or whatever, but she was done. Richard.
Yeah, it just reminds me of a couple of posts I saw on Facebook from in the group that Susan's in for Williams Syndrome. And one of the ladies on there, her son, they live down here in the Los Angeles area. So he had a setback or something like that. And she just blasted on Facebook, "I hate you, God, I hate you."
Oh, wow.
And then things turned around, he got better. And she says, "Thank you, God, for, you know, keeping my son alive." This and that. And I thought, wait a minute. Out of the same mouth comes forth sweet and bitter, right?
Yeah, that's the passage. I think that's worth reading. That's in James chapter. Give me a chapter. Chapter 4. Nope. Oh, hold on a second. It might be. Chapter 3.
I don't know where you want to start. At least 10.
Let's start with verse 2.
Just read the whole book.
Just read the whole book. Start with verse 2. James chapter 3, verse 2. "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. They're so great and driven by strong winds are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set afire by such a small, set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of birds, of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." And yeah, it goes on, but the point that you're making there is we need to control our tongue. I mean, when he summarizes and says, from the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. These things ought not to be this way. So we need to watch what we say. And the extension of that is we need to watch what we put on memes on social media. There's a lot of people I know. I don't spend a lot of time on social media, but when I'm there, I see people just copy and paste stuff. They just, oh, that's a good idea. I'll just copy and paste that. Sometimes they don't even look at who posted it originally. And who posted it originally was some ungodly, you know, even just the name sometimes are curse words of where it came from. And people don't look at that. People don't, they don't think, oh, this is going to represent me. But the thing is, we're ambassadors of Christ. If we're Christians, we're ambassadors of Christ. We're representing him in the world. And if we're representing Jesus, people are going to look at us and judge Christianity on us. So we need to be very careful about the things that we say, the things that we represent online. But kind of went down a rabbit hole. Let's get back to where we were, Proverbs. And I was talking about D, what I've got, my answer for D on number 12 is let your heart hold fast my words. For E, I've got keep my commandments, which you'll find in Proverbs 4, making my way down here, 4:4. That he taught me and said, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Of course, keeping the commandments of God, Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We need to understand that when Jesus spoke, it was the Father speaking through him. This is God telling us, if we love God, we'll keep his commandments. If we love Jesus, we'll keep his commandments. Also in John, in fact, let me just go over there. John chapter 14. Where am I? There we go. John chapter 14, look at verse 21. John 14, 21. I'm going to read through 24. John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. The interesting thing about this is we realize that keeping the commandments of God is how you have God living in you. When we talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they all live in us when we keep his commandments. Because when we're keeping the commandments of God, then God is actually using us as an instrument to get his work done. We're a tool. When we do the commandments of God, then that's God working through us, getting his job done on earth through us. So it's simple to understand. I've got verse 23 highlighted in my Bible because it helps me understand when people start talking about the indwelling of God. How do you have God living in you? Well, it's not some better felt than told feeling that somebody has, or they get the tingles, or they get some emotional reaction or something. Then you know that God's living in you. That's not the way it works. If it is that, if that is the way that works, give me book, chapter, and verse. And I'll believe it. But there's no book, chapter, and verse that says that. The book, chapter, and verse that I read, that I just read, tells you how to get the Holy Spirit, how to have the Father and the Son living in you, is to obey the commandments of God. The commandments have been revealed by the Holy Spirit. So when we're making the Word part of us, remember what James said about the Word implanted is what saves your soul. It's not the Word, it's the Word implanted. When we have the word implanted, that means we're doing the word of God. Matthew 7:20. You know, I know I camp on that verse quite a bit, but there's so much truth to be found in Matthew 7:21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven is who will enter. And the companion verse, I like that word, the companion verse, because every time I say 7:21, it makes me think of Hebrews 5:7. Or is it 9? Hebrews 5:9. Hebrews 5:9 says, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. This is talking about Jesus. Having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Who is Jesus the source of eternal salvation for? He's the source of eternal salvation for somebody. This verse tells you who. This verse tells you he's the source of eternal salvation to those who obey him. And that's why it's important that we keep the commandments of God, and that's why I've got for E on number 12, keep my commandments. Below that, I've got acquire wisdom and acquire understanding. Proverbs 16:16, I believe, says something similar to that. Proverbs 16:16. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. So this is valuable. And he's trying to give us an analogy of how valuable it is. It's better to get wisdom than gold. And gold has always been considered a precious metal. People want to collect as much of it as they can so they can, you know, secure their future physical wealth. But the Proverbs writer says how much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. So I've got for F, acquire wisdom, for G, acquire understanding, and then I've got a bunch of little subs as well, which is probably filling in where Richard's got. Back to Proverbs 4. I'll just read what I've got, and then you can add to it if you'd like to. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Prizing wisdom and honoring wisdom. Now, I wrote that down because verse 8 says, prize her and she will exalt you. Prizing wisdom. I mean, this is, you know, talking about wisdom as if it's a woman. But prizing her and she'll exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. So we want to prize her. We want to honor her and embrace her. And then I've also written, don't forget, don't forsake, and love wisdom. And I think the parallel passage there is 2 Thessalonians 2:10. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. Yes, about loving the truth. 2:10 starts in the middle of a sentence, but it says that with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will set upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this that he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. So in this passage, it talks about the love of the truth in verse 10, the belief of the truth in verse 12, and faith in the truth in verse 13. And I just thought that that kind of went right along with not forgetting, not forsaking, and loving wisdom, because wisdom and truth are, I don't know if they're synonymous, but they're definitely in the same category. Yes, Carolyn.
I tend to have trouble seeing the big picture of things oftentimes, and so I'm always looking for ways to sort of boil it down and summarize. And this one, I listed all the verbs that appear in my version, and Richard earlier was talking about parallel and repetition. And
which passage? Which passage are you talking about?
The one in Proverbs 4.
Back to Proverbs 4.
I have, this is all things we should do in relation to wisdom. Get, keep, don't abandon, be taught, hold fast, acquire, don't forget, don't turn away, don't forsake, love, prize, exalt, and embrace. I mean, this should be our number one priority in our lives from, you know, the way this is laid out. This is really emphasized. And then some of the words that, you know, if you do this, then what wisdom will do is love, guard, watch, honor, and you'll receive grace and beauty. I mean, what a great thing. And you laid out, here's all the ways we do those things, but sometimes I have to really work to see, the big picture.
No, I like the way you laid that out. That's very easy to understand. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. I'll have to take a look at your Bible when we get home. Did you write that in the margin? Oh, you wrote it on the worksheet. Okay. Well, anyway, that's the end of what I've got written for question number 12. Does anybody else have something they'd like to add? About what strong urging should a father encourage upon his son? These are all the same encouragement, which is to gain wisdom. Because that's what this book is. It's a book of wisdom, and he tells you right at the beginning of the book, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. So he lays it right out at the beginning, what this book is about. And then goes through it and gives you choice pieces of wisdom. And then tells you how important it is that you listen. So it's not just Solomon. Remember where Solomon got his wisdom from. We're reading the Word of God. That is what we're reading. We're reading the Word of God that the Holy Spirit revealed through Solomon to write down so that we can have this wisdom from God. So let's move on to number 13. What benefits will be reaped? So we're still in chapter 4. As Jenny said, a lot of these are crossovers, crossover questions that are answering. They're answered by the same verses. But chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, what benefits will be reaped from our gathering of wisdom, benefits of wisdom and understanding? I don't know if we're gonna have the same. I've got 7 listed, but somebody else might have 12 listed. But the first one I've got listed is life. Is that what you got too? Okay. So Proverbs 4:4. He taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. So, life. Proverbs 7:2. Scroll over a couple of pages. Proverbs 7:2 says, keep my commandments and live. And my teaching as the apple of your eye. I always thought that was an interesting phrase. The apple of my eye. The apple of your eye. It's also interesting that the apple has a literal meaning of pupil, the pupil of your eye. So that's the target, I guess. It's the main part of what you should be looking at is the teaching of God. Keep my commandments and live. My teaching is the apple of your eye. Second thing I've got is it will guard you. The benefits of wisdom will guard you. Find that in verse 6. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. And as a parallel, I've got Proverbs 2, 10 through 12. Proverbs 2, 10 through 12 says, "For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you." So we talked about this before, but we'll mention it again because it's a study class. What's discretion? So we're going to gain wisdom, we're going to gain understanding, but what's discretion? Jenny? Oh, you're just adjusting your mask. I thought you had your hand up. Anyone?
Did you say what is discretion?
What is discretion?
Well, it's making a judgment call. Or deciding, I could do this thing, but should I? Is the time right? So it's applying wisdom.
It's the application of wisdom. That was the answer I was looking for. Yeah, because we can gain wisdom and we can gain understanding, but unless we use it, then we're not practicing discretion. And that's what discretion is. Remember, Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged." But then he also said, "Judge with righteous judgment." So in other words, don't judge hypocritically. But you have to make judgments. There's just times when we have to make judgment calls. Should I do this or should I do this? Which is the right way? Come to a fork in the road. Choose the right direction. That's a choice that we make. And that choice is called discretion when we're making the choice with wisdom. We say, well, what's the wise decision? What decision should I make based on what God would want me to do? Then that's discretion. So, Proverbs 2, verse 10, 11. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. So, we're guarded by making proper decisions based on the wisdom that we've gained. For C, I've got watch over you, the benefits that we have of wisdom, it'll watch over you. Also found in Proverbs 4, 6. Do not forsake her, and she'll guard over you. Love her, and she will watch over you. So this is Proverbs 4, 6. The parallel passage I've got there is Proverbs 6, 21 and 20, through 23. Proverbs 6, 21 through 23. Which says, "Bind them continually on your heart." I'll start with verse 20. "My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life." So, wisdom will guide us and watch over us. And that's a very comforting thought. Lynn?
I just keep thinking that that's one of the things we have to keep in mind also, that wisdom is more than just knowledge. Because I'm pretty smart in a lot of things, but I'll say I don't have a whole lot of wisdom in a lot of things. There's a big difference in that.
I'm in your club. Yes. We can keep our nose in the book and keep gaining knowledge, but the wisdom is in there too, but we got to dig a little for it.
And we have to do it.
And we have
it's
to,
not good to just sit there.
We have to do it and practice it. The word implanted. And that's when we start practicing the wisdom that we learn and making wise choices. Anything else? Carolyn?
This is sort of flippant. It's kind of meme-ish, but somebody said, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is actually a fruit. Wisdom is not putting tomato in a fruit salad.
Yeah.
That kind of helps me keep them straight.
It helps you keep them straight. That's good. All right, how many minutes I got left?
One.
Yeah. Huh? 90 seconds.
90 seconds? We can go through another one.
Maybe 85.
I've got the benefits that will be reaped. For D, I put, it will exalt you. Wisdom will exalt you. Which, again, back to Proverbs 4, verse 8 is where you find that. Prize her and she will exalt you. As a parallel passage, I've got Proverbs 27, verse 2. Proverbs 27. It says, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Humility. God will exalt us if we're humble. That's required. Humility is required to be a Christian. Pride and arrogance are things that God hates. I mean, it's an abomination to God. To be proud and arrogant is an abomination to God. If we humble ourselves before Him, He will exalt us in the end. We're not talking about in this life. He'll exalt us by taking us to heaven. What an exalted place to be. That's where we're headed. That's the plan. All right, so let me put the marker right at E. So 13 E's where we'll pick up next week. 13D, because I got some more passages to talk about. So, well, thank you so much for being here. And we will continue with our worship service in just a few minutes.